convene the Energy TAC on Wednesday, 14th of March at 10:10. I don't think we need to review the amendment process, which was already done previously in the structural energy TAC. I need a standing motion that will handle the standing approved motion.
So moved.
Second.
Is there a second?
Yes.
All right. Make sure that we all understand the items that these that this motion covers, A through G. And is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And opposed? Thank you very much. Anything further? All right, we have nine available. Nine, two, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
And
we
could
have
I
nine.
Have an agenda?
They're right over there. The agenda's right on the corner over there. Everybody understands the procedure. All right, we will open 2727. Proponent? Leonard?
Yes.
Is that on?
No.
It's over here.
No, you don't. Just go ahead.
Okay.
And it's up on the screen.
The first thing I want to note is I have two of the same in there, 2727, 2657. They're one and the same when I was working, entering these into the system.
And which one do you prefer? Are they both the same?
They're both exactly the same verbiage. It was an error on my part, submitted two of the same.
Okay,
this proposal is to exempt, and not exempt, but to put back into place energy conservation, at least electrical energy conservation, back into this exempt building. Okay? What you've got is a lot of water plants, sewer plants, big chiller plants being installed that are exempt, and the reason they're being exempt, they will use the humidistat in them, or they say, oh, it's a building that is not intended to be occupied. These are large consumers of energy. And the idea behind the energy code is obviously to cut down on the use of energy. It may not be cost-effective sometimes, but that's the idea behind it. And it's here to stay because of global warming. I think most everybody knows that by now. I don't know what the background of everybody is in here. My background is electrical. I'm not an engineer, but I've been around a long time. And this has to do, like I say, with the conserving of energy. When you exempt this building, a lot of these buildings have all of the power for a total water plant, sewer plant, or a chiller in them. And the feeders that leave that building and go to the associated buildings or large 400, 600 horsepower pumps that some of them run 24 hours a day, they're not being sized basically for voltage drop. Most good designers, I will say, do design that way. But if somebody's trying to cut the cost of them, they will not design for voltage drop. And for those of you who may not understand voltage drop, the best thing that I can say to you is most of you here, I'm looking around, have had a little heater in their house at one time, a little electric heater. And as it got colder at night sometimes, the voltage drop on the grid would drop, and the cord leading from the plug to the heater became extremely hot sometimes. And that's because of low voltage drop, and in some cases even caused fire. So if you don't have voltage drop, if you can cut down on voltage drop, all of everything runs more efficiently. As far as how it's going to affect the building departments. It won't. You still have to make your inspections out there. As far as the cost of the building, probably minimal. It could cost a little more initially, but over the long run, it will be more efficient and cost-effective to run these water and sewer plants, and that's primarily what I'm targeting. And is it Florida-specific? I think it is Florida-specific because, first of all, Florida has been a leader in this energy code and has gone further than almost any other state with the exception of California and the state of Washington, I believe. And you're not required to go by 90-1, the 2004 edition, but that's basically what we're doing. And so that's what makes I feel it's Florida-specific.
Thank you, Leonard. Are there any other proponents? Any opponents? Anybody opposing this? Move it to the TAC. Do I have a second? I need a second for discussion.
Second.
I have a second. Phil?
Yeah, I have a question probably for the proponent. I guess my question is the proponent proposing that electrical power buildings be air conditioned?
No. What I'm saying is they're exempt from the energy code. The electrical requirements in section 413, but because of this exemption, they're exempt from the electrical requirements, which
is the voltage issue.
Which is the voltage drift issue. It's the they're wasting energy on a lot of these large plants. If it was a commercial building and it's more than 5,000 square foot and it was a business, then they're subject to all the requirements that are in that electrical section of the energy code. But because of the exemption, the way it's written now, water plants, sewer plants, and big chiller systems specifically are exempt. They put air conditioning. Some of these water plants have some extensive air conditioning systems in them, and yet they put a humidistat in there, and they say they're exempt.
Phil, I think the energy code requires a voltage drop calculation. What's the percentage, Leonard? 2%?
It's 2% for feeders and 3% for branch circuits.
All right, so what he's saying is, by allowing this exemption, then the people in those particular type of buildings don't have to use that 2% requirement. Bob.
Okay. I think I understand that. Okay.
I'm trying to clarify this myself. His reference has to do with the voltage drop, but if we accept this, would we say that they then could not space condition these facilities, and they obviously wouldn't do that at great expense if there wasn't something electronic in there that they're trying to protect? Is that what this is going to do as an unintended consequence, perhaps?
Tim?
In trying to read the statement and understand it here, it says that the requirements for space conditioning for the equipment is outside of the scope of our energy code. That equipment will need particular cooling requirements, but it's not going to be answered in this document. And I think that's what that exception lays out here, is that you have to go elsewhere to get to those requirements.
Richard.
Is it my understanding that because it is exempt, there's no requirement for minimum voltage drop?
That is correct.
I didn't know they were exempt.
I think it's energy code calculations.
Wait a second. I've got a list here. Roger.
I think that section is exempting them from energy code requirements, right?
It is exactly.
Right. Right.
Only Chapter 13.
So by doing this here. Yeah, I got it. By doing that, are we not then going to require them to do energy code calculations and engineering design with that also?
Yes.
Steve?
We're looking, there's two things in this modification. One is the paragraph one out of paragraph five. It appears that most of the discussion is centering around paragraph one, which allows the exemption if you're only putting the humidistat in. And I've looked at this specifically, not for power generation, not for water plants or anything like that, but you can build a self-storage warehouse and put air conditioning in it, and if all you put in is a humidistat, you don't have to put insulation in the walls, you don't have to do anything. It doesn't apply. And there's a way to get around the energy code. So I do think that paragraph one needs more work other than just saying that you have to still apply the voltage drop to it. But that's basically what the humidistat subject is it eliminates you from having to put insulation in the walls, insulation in the attic. You could build a Butler building with no insulation at all and just put a humidistat in, and if you've designed it right, you don't need to comply with the energy code.
Phil?
Am I next?
Yes, sir.
I think that would have to be, if you're only going to install a humidistat, I think you would need a different energy code, because, in fact, if you allow that building to heat up very high, the relative humidity is going to drop very quickly. And so if you're only controlling it with a humidistat, you would not want insulation in the walls, and you would want black roofs and walls and everything else, because you would want the temperature to be as high as possible so the humidity would be as low as possible. And so if you go down that road, I think we have to be fairly careful about where we go, because we could actually increase energy use as an unintended consequence of that.
Roger.
And, yeah, 101.5 is exempt buildings, and this says exempt from compliance with this chapter include those described. So they're saying that by deleting this out the way we've done it, we may be requiring that this building comply with the energy code as far as all the energy code calculations, the load sizing, and adding cost to that building in that manner also.
Bob?
If the desire of the proponent is to get them to do the voltage drop calculation, perhaps we could do it in a better way where we just say that they shall not be exempt from the voltage drop calculation and shall comply with all of the... I didn't know that they were exempt from that.
I don't think they are.
I didn't think they were either. Why would they...
I think this is a code official misinterpretation.
If it's the National Electric Code regulates that...
But it doesn't.
No, it's in the energy code.
No, but this exemption only exempts them from the energy piece.
That's what my interpretation.
It only exempts them from the requirements of Chapter 13, nothing else.
1 second. Richard?
There are two issues. One is energy efficiency, and the other is voltage drop. Seems like the voltage drop issue is an electrical issue that should be in NEC. Is it not in NEC?
Or we can put it in the Florida Building.
The National Electric Code. It is a recommendation that you take voltage drop into consideration. And basically what it says is you can have a voltage drop up to 5%, 2% for feeder, 5% for branch circuit, or 3% for a feeder, 2% as long as you don't exceed 5. But it's only a recommendation. It's a fine print note in the National Electric Code.
Is it true that the energy code limits the percentage of drop to 2%?
Yes. The energy code, in my opinion, is more restrictive than the National Electric Code, even if the designer chose to use one of those options.
That is, in fact, in 13.413 of this. So he's correct about that.
Steve.
I agree with the last decision because it was the energy code that brought up, if you remember a while back, the big issue with the electrical inspectors having to look for this on the plans. And up until that point, they were saying, I only have to comply with the National Energy Code. But my personal opinion, because I've looked at this before, is we ought to strike the whole paragraph one instead of just trying to change it for electric. Because what I was looking at is, okay, I can take and manipulate the insulation in the walls and roof to where my humidistat is going to provide the correct temperature in the space, and I don't have to comply with the energy code. And I don't have to do anything special to control the humidity. So I think we ought to just eliminate, so I would propose an amendment of striking the whole paragraph one.
Okay, I have a proposed amendment to strike paragraph one. What does that do with the striking on five?
It leaves it in there.
It leaves it as it is. So the amendment is to strike paragraph one, renumber, and leave five alone.
Leave five.
Do I have a second for that amendment?
I have a question.
We can't talk about it until I have a second on the amendment.
Well, I have a question about the amendment.
I know, but
no,
I'm
no,
not sure.
Okay. What it is.
I want a clarification.
I'm not sure what the amendment is.
The amendment is strike paragraph one in its entirety.
And my confusion comes about paragraph five. Are we...
That still stays struck.
Okay.
It stays...
Stricken.
It remains as the mod.
As is.
It remains as a mod and eliminated.
Eliminated five also. Okay. Do I have a second for that amendment?
Is he accepted?
Do you accept that amendment, Mr. Devine?
He doesn't have to.
Okay. As I understand it, you're going to strike number one, paragraph number one.
The entire paragraph.
And are you going to strike out five or
yes.
not?
Yeah, leave it.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, five gets stricken also.
Okay. Yeah, so there's no exception to that.
No, it's two.
No, there's two and three and four.
After the renumber.
Oh.
It becomes one, two, and three.
He's down here. See here, they want to strike this one now.
All right, that's a friendly amendment, Mr. Devine. Do you accept that?
Yes, I do.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Is there any discussion on this amendment?
Are there any unintended consequences that we haven't brought up? Because this is kind of a new wrinkle.
Yeah, well, point of view, you need to be careful when you start writing code in a meeting like this.
That's
very careful.
That's my concern.
Because you are deleting those from exempted buildings. Now that you have to comply, now that the exempted buildings heretofore were exempt, will now have to comply with the energy code completely. That means load sizing calculations, that means all the other issues involved in the energy code, which they were trying to give them an exemption. Now, if we're just trying to address the electrical, if that's the intent of this, now we've extended this off to buildings that use dehumidification for dehumidification purposes. That's now going to be exempt from being exempt. Now that's going to have to require energy code calculations,
Steve,
by exempting these things.
Steve.
As the proponent of this, let me explain. I and an engineer that designs heating and air conditioning systems, I've been trying to come up with what building required only dehumidification and didn't require, shouldn't have the energy calculation and shouldn't take into account the insulation in the walls and stuff like this. And I couldn't come up with one. I don't know of any use for that other than to get around not putting insulation in the walls and the ceiling. So I can't come up with a downside to it.
Philip?
My only comment is that I tend to agree with Steve, but I don't think the way he's made the proposal provides the proponent what he's seeking.
It does, because if they air condition that building, they've got to do load calculation, and load calculation also requires complying with the voltage drop.
Richard.
Okay.
My concern is that we're making more than an editorial change by deleting item number one. And as you say, Dale, we have not thought this through in a deliberative manner.
This is very dangerous. This is very dangerous territory.
So I'm going to vote against deleting paragraph one.
John?
I think I agree with what he just said. And the question is, the change at the item one with the exception for the electrical power or some other wording added to number five to solve your voltage issue, would that not achieve what you're looking for?
I'm not so sure I'd have to look at it. I would like to say that the original intent was to only address the electrical items, and that's all I really wanted to do. I wasn't looking to get the, you know, energy calcs done or anything like that. These chiller buildings, some of them are totally enclosed, and yet they're so wide open inside. I don't know how they'd ever comply with the energy code. And okay, sewer plants would be the same way.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So it's, in number five, if it was worded in such a way that it's only exempt from the energy part and not from the rest of the truck.
All right. So just put this, you know.
Let me explain something to you guys. We have an amendment on the floor. All right. It has been seconded. We're in discussion. After discussion, we're going to take a vote on that amendment. Then we're going to go back and look at 2727 as amended or not. You have one other option, and that is to table it, and we'll, so that it can be wordsmithed the way it needs to be done, and then bring it back at the end. So you have that option. So currently, we have an amendment on the floor. Is there any more discussion?
I got a clarification question. When you say table it, table the amendment or table the proposal?
I'm going to work on the amendment first, and then I would request, if you're interested, table the original.
If we table the amendment, we table the original.
I would prefer that we deal with the amendment.
Okay.
And then table the original to give Leonard and some other people some time to work on it. Philip.
I want to say that I'm probably opposed to this amendment for same kind of reasons that some of the others are, that we are probably going to impact some things that we haven't thought about. However, I would like to see an amendment that clarifies what is being asked.
Is there any other discussion on the amendment? All right. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. All those opposed?
Aye.
All right. The amendment fails. Now, back to the original mod 2727. Philip.
I would like to propose to the proponent that we add some additional language to his exception that clarifies what the exception is calling for, so that it says something to the effect that except that the provisions of section 13.4.13 shall be applicable.
And instead of a double exception, you add that in there. Word this in such a way that it's not a double negative.
Not an exception to the exception.
Well, let's work on that language. Yeah.
The provisions of what?
Strike five and
section 13.14 shall apply.
This is going really slow. Except that the provisions of 13.14 shall apply.
Yes.
You can add that statement to the number five. Unstrike five and add that statement.
Wait.
Okay.
Where did you want it?
Chairman?
Roger.
Dale. If we add that exception, except the provisions of 13.413 shall apply, if you go down and unstrike five, we're going to leave that building as an exempt building and then place the exception there that you must comply, except for those provisions that for voltage drop in those type of structures. Then you will also leave that, because the proponent also added that to item number one, where we had have stricken the whole thing. We'd leave that, and you'd still have the electrical power drop requirement to those exempt buildings,
And you can add another more exception that Steve would be more amenable to for those type of structures, those components of those type of buildings to comply with.
So Roger, are you requesting that the same exception be added to 5 and 5 be unstricken?
Yeah.
I'll accept that as a friendly amendment to the proposal.
Bob, if we unstrike 5 and state that section, the one that Phil has, which has the voltage drop, and enumerate it, that it is the voltage drop calculation, shall not be included in this exception. That's all we got to do.
So it's a clarification of state 5. Is what it
is. Well, we're clarifying 5. 5 still leaves everything exempt the way that it was, and say that section, the code section, and whatever it was, Phil, you can give it to Ann. And I would put in parenthesis, the voltage drop calculation shall not be included in this exception. And now we've covered all the bases, we've done what he wants to do, and we've still kept all of the things intact that we had before.
It is the section that he listed. Mm-hmm. It's section 13.413.
Got it. Okay. Up electrical power shall not be included in this
shall
exception.
Not,
and that's
be
behind number 5.
But
Roger.
But in his text of his modification, he has added this exception, this except section 13-413, electrical power. He has added that to number 1. On the first exception of this code, that has been added in there.
We would have to ask him. That may have been intentional.
So we can leave that. I mean, that's part of his proposal, if that's his intent. That's only for dehumidification buildings, you know, prior to this, that were totally exempt.
Now he's
changing the fact that these buildings, they're still exempt from all other sections of the energy code except this energy drop, the power drop.
Is that 1 and 5 or all of them?
Is that what we have on the board?
Mm-hmm.
We're leaving his original exception in? On 1.
See, number 1, you'd have to unstrike all number 1 to show what we originally had. Unstrike it, yeah. Unstrike everything there. Okay, that is what he originally proposed. That's in this change.
All right, and in 5?
Okay. We're adding that same...
We're going to add that section
you want
that she has right
1
on top
and
there.
5.
All right, no. Good. See the thing that you have accept that.
Yes.
Power
where does it go?
That goes in 5.
1 and 5.
That accept.
5. Move that down to 5.
Oops.
Copy it and cut it.
My dad. This computer is real slow.
At the bottom, at the end of 5, not the beginning.
At the end of 5?
Yes.
It's awful.
Oh, there it is.
Boom.
Yeah. Where's Robert?
All right, but is it good? Does it go at the beginning of 1?
No.
Like we have it on there? It doesn't go there.
That's already in there.
The original proposal was to use that language instead of the language which was in 1.
So take this out.
Yes.
Place it.
That was the original proposal. So it was showing it would be in 2 places.
You're going to strike through that one.
All right, so accept that the provisions of... That's very poor language.
Well, the first underlined part goes at the end of 1.
Well, that's not the language I proposed. I proposed accept that the provisions of section 13.413 shall apply.
Okay. I'm sorry.
And that goes at the end. Shall apply. All right, now take that statement and stick it on the end of 1.
Okay, and fix this one as well.
What?
So?
Yeah, but now see the statement on that's in 1?
1's awful.
Take the 1. Take the exception that's in 1, what you have right in front of the starts, and put it on the end of 1.
This one? Just like we did on 5.
Yes, sir.
Here, here?
No. At the end of 1, right there. At the end.
After code, yeah.
Okay. So we're running this sentence on?
We're running them all.
It's a new sentence.
Code language.
Well, it needs a subject then. To just take off except.
It should be a comma instead of this period.
Just take off except that, and the provisions of shall apply.
Yes. Take out except that.
I will as soon as this computer lets me.
Yeah, I think it's right.
Okay, now what we have in front of you.
Somebody hit the damn delete key.
This is excruciating, and I hope we don't do this for everything.
Yeah. Well,
however,
it's forever.
That was a personal comment, actually.
Okay.
But, all right. What we have on the board is a friendly amendment to Mr. Devine's 2727. Mr. Devine, do you accept that amendment? That does what your intention is. Do I have a... I need a motion for this amendment.
I move that we consider this as amended.
All right. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion on this amendment that's on the board? This is an amendment to 2727. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right. The amendment is approved. Now we move to 2727 as amended. And I already have a second on that. Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Let the record show that there's 10. There are 10 TAC members here, and it's a 10-0 vote. Thank you very much. Moving to 2657, Leonard, I need you to withdraw that.
I withdraw.
All right, 2657 is withdrawn. The next mod is 2485, and it is Steve Bassett. Mr. Bassett, you need to understand that as the proponent, we need you to explain that information, and you are considered a member of the public when you do that. And then when it comes back to the TAC, you can also comment on it and vote on it. All right. Can you give us a background on 2485, please?
I was approached by the chairman of the Florida Board of Professional Engineers and asked to submit this amendment to remove the exemption that was stated. Type, names, and registration numbers may be provided in lieu of a signature where all relevant information has been included on signed sealed plans. Their opinion is, because one particular engineer is writing this, it has not gotten to the individuals such as electrical, plumbing, architects, and by making them sign it as participants, they will be aware of what's been put in the energy code calculation. And so this is a direct request of the Florida Board of Professional Engineers.
They're asking to work harder.
Are there any other proponents for this that wish to speak? Any opponents? People opposed to this? Seeing none, I'll bring it to the TAC. Bob, I need a second.
I'll move.
You have a second?
I'll move this.
I have a second, Bob.
Let me clarify what you got going on. What you're saying is on the energy calculation form itself, before it's submitted, it needs to be signed by the other disciplines. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. In the past, they just had the architect or engineer of record
sign it.
And then they list the other names.
They've had the preparer sign and seal it.
Yeah.
And just listed the names of the other people. But they've never gotten the information, and it hasn't been put on the drawings.
All right. To further Bob's question, how many people have to sign this document now? How many do I have to get signed before I can issue a permit?
It would be a minimum of six, right?
This is procedurally, this is really concerning me. Anne?
The way this thing is written, it says, if Florida law requires these designers to be on this job, then those designers shall sign the form. However, it says, if all the information needed to perform the energy code calculation is on a set of signed and sealed plans, then that professional's name and registration number may be on there. And Florida's law is a little bit backwards. It doesn't say that you have to an electrical engineer is required on this building. It says when an electrical engineer is not required on this building. So it's kind of confusing.
Now, it's going to make your job actually easier, because right now, the way it's worded, the inspector is the one that should be checking to see if the information that's on an energy calculation shows up on the professional's drawings. By having a professional sign it, he now says, I've got that information, and you no longer have to worry about double-checking on it. And this is one of the things that also came up when all of a sudden the electrical inspectors said, I don't have to check the drawings for energy code calculations. So it's simplifying the inspector's job, should be. If during the design phase of a project, shouldn't show anything up.
I'm not sure that it's going to have anything to do with the inspectors, more the plans examiner.
Well,
the plans examiner has to determine whether or not
they're
meeting the energy code. And if it gets involved with who has to sign the document, how many times is another issue. Bob?
Does this have any effect, if we do this, on plans that are below the threshold law, where you need...
No.
Okay, it doesn't have any... So the plans examiner is going to see plans that don't have all the signatures, but he's also going to see ones that have all the signatures if this goes through, right? That's the energy code.
If he sees plans that have the designer signature on the plans, he should see the same signature on the calculation.
All right. Now,
if you get plans that
just seeing them on the plans.
If the contractor submits the plans, you don't have an engineer sign it, so the engineer wouldn't be on the energy code calculation.
Okay. And does this change how the plans examiners would do their function? I don't see that it does. Dale, was that your point? They still have to check the plan for compliance.
They're going to check the plan for compliance if it is signed by a registered mechanical engineer. Then he's going to want to see that same mm-hmm. signature mm-hmm. on the energy code document.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
That's going to change the way business is done in Florida a bit, but
no, it's not.
I'm not going to say it's not wrong.
Well, doesn't this say that he wants to see the signatures of all of the design professionals who do design of lighting, mechanical, plumbing, etc., on the energy code form?
That's what it's saying.
Yeah.
So if this engineer is an out-of-state engineer, suppose the guy's in Kentucky, you'd have to mail him the form, him sign it, and then send it back? Is that where we're going?
No, it should have been signed when it got down here.
No, I mean, the plans are signed and sealed, but what the energy calc is what I have.
Bob, during the design process, first, if you have an out-of-state guy, it's generally a big project.
Yeah.
This sort of stuff should have been communicated during the design process before the design takes place.
Right.
Therefore, it doesn't delay anything, but yes, the calculation should have to be sent, and then it will have to be sent up to whoever is involved and back again during the design process, which has time to do all this, and therefore it should not affect the length of time that the design takes.
His point is, in preparing in the the professional in preparing the documents would prepare the correct documents, sign the documents for those particular documents in order to be submitted for an application for a permit.
All right, so it would be sent round robin to the electric, the
just
plumbing.
Just like the plans themselves go round robin.
Right, yeah, everything's happening.